Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, fourth and final hour, morning drive. We'll take another whack at it. 60 minutes to go as we head into the weekend. The big finish coming up at 9:45.
Sounds like my golf game on the weekend.
Yes, it looked like a good tee shot until I hit it, and then all of a sudden something went terribly wrong.
Like a Cairo Santos block field goal. Of course it was going in.
When you said that this past week about your drive, I didn't think I was going to slice it until I hit the trees.
I hear Vrabel go like, well, it looked like he hit it really well, and like it only traveled 6% of its total distance, and how do you know? And you know what happens on a tee shot, right? You hit it really well, you make good contact, it clips a branch, right? And it goes 85 yards.
Yep.
And you look at your buddy and you go, Nick, God, I hit that so well. If I just had missed that branch, I'd be way out there in the fairway. And then Nick has to look at me and go, yeah, but you're 85 yards off the tee right there, buddy. Yeah. Like, the ball's really just right there. So who knows if Cairo Santos' field goal was going through. That's ridiculous.
Trees are 90% air until you get on a golf course, and then they are 100% wood.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No doubt about it. So, Titans, Broncos, Sunday, Mile High. I have absolutely no opinion on this game because the first 5 weeks, my opinion has been dead wrong. I have gone 0-for-5 picking this Titans team straight up. Forget spreads. I can't figure them out to save my life. All the trends say they're going to win because they're an underdog. They're not expected to win. Yet I don't see anything from last week that says they're going to fix their issues.
I'm not any better. I think I'm 2-3 straight up on them. I'm picking the Titans, so I'm not that much better. I think they have a lot of experience with Joe Flacco. So they've played against him a lot. They've played against him each of the last, two seasons. Certainly last year did not go well against the Baltimore Ravens defense. Marcus was sacked 11 times, had no time to throw. But here's an interesting stat for you. Joe Flacco in the last two meetings, which I believe has taken place in the last 2 years, and they split those games. Joe Flacco threw the ball 89 times in the last two games against Baltimore. If at 5.6 yards per attempt, which would be last in the NFL. I mean, 5.6 yards per attempt for a quarterback is atrocious. So he's throwing the ball almost 90 times. That's 45 times a game the last two times they've played each other. If he's anywhere near that number in this game, then the Titans will win the game, period, because that means Joe Flacco's having to throw the ball a lot to move the football down the field. He doesn't pick up a lot of yards against Titans defenses traditionally. And I just don't think it means you're trailing probably at that stage as well. So I just think you want Flacco to be the guy throwing the ball a lot. The Broncos want the opposite. The Broncos want him to be at 20, 21, 22 pass attempts. He's thrown the ball 90 times in the last two games against Titans the last 2 years, and he split 1-1 in those two matchups. The defense is largely what won the game for Baltimore last year. So as long as you can protect the quarterback, run the football, and force Joe Flacco to throw the ball, I think they win the game.
I mean, let's be real here for a moment. I forget Joe Flacco. I don't think any offensive coordinator, any head coach, feels good about 90 pass attempts in two games.
No, you don't want to go into the game on average throwing the ball 45 times. Unless that's your offense where you're throwing the ball around a yard. I mean, KC does it.
Cliff Kingsbury, man.
Cardinals do it. The Saints do it, not 45 times a game, but they're in the 30s, especially when Drew Brees is at quarterback. But for the Denver Broncos, with Vic Fangio as their coach, and him being a defensive-minded guy, I can't see that being a plus for Denver throwing the ball 45 times. Now, if they can get around 25 to 30 times, then I think they're better off that way because, unless a lot of those passes are going to Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, then that's a different story because those two guys they've been known, they've proven they are playmakers. They're probably the best 1-2 punch in the National Football League right now. But if you're trying to get the ball down the field and you're throwing it that many times, that's not good. It plays right into the hands of what the Tennessee Titans want you to do, is be one-dimensional. And, you know, they have a good enough defense, more than good enough defense, that if you become one-dimensional, then you know, they're going to have their way with you.
Is there any concern with Denver's receivers, Courtland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders? I mean, this feels like Titans secondary should be in pretty good position.
Those are some quick guys, though.
I mean, they're some good. They are good players. You can't take them for granted. You know, Emmanuel Sanders has been, you know, when he's healthy, he's been a consistent, you know, pass catcher. Sutton is a young guy that has shown flashes. So, I mean, you can't overlook what they're capable of doing, especially at home, knowing that they got to have this victory. You can't just assume, you know, we'll be able to play these guys man-to-man on the edge and try to stack the box and stop Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. You got to kind of play it honest and hope that your defense continues to do what it has been doing. And that's, you know, being opportunistic, getting turnovers, getting sacks when they need it.
The one thing I do have a good feeling on is if this game goes south for the Tennessee Titans and they lose this game by whatever margin and they fall to 2-4, next week at Nissan Stadium, the Los Angeles Chargers come to town. The Chargers right now have a losing record. I'll just rule out whoever they play this week for the moment, almost make that irrelevant.
Playing Pittsburgh.
Okay, so 7-point home favorite. Chargers don't have a home field advantage. They don't have this massive fan base. They don't travel. I think next week at Nissan Stadium, if the Titans lose this week, we're going to see a ghost town. And I believe it'll be one of the ugliest looks for the John Robinson era. That's just my gut feeling, based on the way Titans fans might check out. Chargers don't travel. I think you could see a ton of empty seats next week, more than we typically would.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to argue the opposite side of that equation, right? To say, oh, no, there's, you know, 2-4, there's going to be a lot of rallying, the you know, circle the wagons, and Titans fans will show up, and they'll make that place loud. Like, it's hard to see that. And frankly, the Chargers games have been really good games.
I know.
Like, they have played really entertaining football games with the Chargers the last couple of years, in London last year and out in L.A. the year before. Like, they've played really entertaining football games. So it should be a very good football game between two teams that we thought were division contenders in the preseason. So I still think we still have yet to figure out what everybody is in the NFL. We're still only 5 games in. Let's you know, see what everybody is 4, 5, 6 more games. But 2-4 and 3-3 feel very different, and especially if you lose again in the AFC to a bad team, a last-place team. They had lost 8 consecutive games before last week.
Yep.
So this is a Broncos team that is not exactly setting the world on fire. So they gave up 270 yards rushing to I almost said to LSU, to Jacksonville and Leonard Fournette the week before. You can tell where my brain is. I'm just ready for Florida and LSU on Saturday night. They gave up a boatload of yards to Leonard Fournette and Jacksonville rushing. If they can, you know, they were great last week. They only gave up 35 yards rushing. What Denver defense are we going to get? Like, that's, you know, Derrick Henry has to impose his will. I know we say that almost every Friday, but that's what you want to see this weekend. This should be a game where a power running game should have some effect.
615-737-1025. The number, if you want to jump in, 737-1025. We've got our picks coming up at 9:30 this morning. Also, the big finish at 9:45. One quick thing on the NFL before we transition back to a little bit of college. Last night, Patriots crushed the Giants 35-14. Danny Dimes looked like a young pup in the headlights. Belichick clearly shut him down. 3 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this, though, and I know the scoreboard said Patriots rolled. You start watching Tom Brady, and last night I watched a good portion of that game. He's starting to look like he's 42.
Yeah, he's getting hit, and, you know, he's getting – the offensive line is not as good.
They're going to need to make a trade, I think. They've played a lot of bad teams so far.
Uh-huh.
Giants, yeah. Dolphins, Jets.
And listen, that defense is really holding – the water for them right now.
Oh, do they score twice last night, right?
Yeah.
Yep. They've scored like 6 touchdowns.
And you can't, you know, you say, well, Daniel Jones, I mean, he played good. I mean, the interception, he got hit on the arm. He flopped it. The other fumble, I mean, they fumbled the ball and scored. Nico scored when he threw the screen to the running back, and the running back ended up fumbling it.
Yeah.
I think Jones has played good. They just don't have talent, enough talent around him. And in New England, their defense is really what's kind of driving this thing for
if
them.
If I'm Belichick, now, I'm trading for Stephon Diggs. I need to get Brady some weapons.
I don't know why you think it. What, like, they're undefeated, guys. Like, what are they? What are they really?
But you just look at them, and their defense is really good. You know, I trust Sony Michel.
They scored 35 points.
Yeah,
I mean, they went 16-10 against Buffalo. That's Buffalo's defense, right? One of the better defenses in the NFL. But otherwise, I agree. They've played a weak schedule, but they've lit them up. So I don't know. It's hard to get better than 6-0, right?
I'm just looking at Brady, and I'm like, I think Father Time is starting to creep in here.
Well,
like, he's defied
I guess,
it for so long.
Yeah, and listen, Father Time's undefeated, so it eventually will catch up to him. But you give me that throw to Edelman, you know, down the seam at the end of the game, like, still about as good as it gets, about as great as catch as it gets. Got a, you know, about as good execution as it gets. I still think you give me Edelman and some of those other guys. James White's going to catch 80 pass. Like, y'all, you two can go ahead and doubt the Patriots. I'll take the 6-0 Patriots.
Man, I'm not doubting the Patriots, but they're going to have to. You know, if their defense, if they get any injuries on defense and this defense, if this defense kind of slips a little bit, it will be tough on their offense to move the ball because, you know, that's why the owner is begging for Gronk to come back.
Praying.
Yeah.
Not begging.
Because
praying. He
understands that further down the line when you start playing, you know, more playoff caliber teams, you got to play Buffalo again. You know, you need somebody, you know, and I mean, Edelman's going to get you the 10-yard catches, but they need someone else.
I wonder what else Robert Kraft puts in his prayers at night.
Jesus. All right.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, prayers. Yeah, it's a great thought.
He put prayers
pray for Gronk to come back.
It's a good pondering by you.
Think about anything else?
I thought Gronk was really good on TV last night, by the way.
I didn't see it.
He's going to be a megastar. There's no reason for him to ever come back to football.
He's already a megastar.
Just put a microphone and a camera in front of Gronk. You've got good television.
Gronk Cruise every spring, baby.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't even need like legit analysis from him. I just need him to ramble.
Yeah.
Whatever comes out of his mouth, I'm in. It's like Barkley. It's like Charles Barkley.
I agree.
You don't pay him for the analysis. You pay him for the wow factor.
Yeah. And the abs.
Exactly.
Of course.
Coming up next, a little college football rivalry talk. One man played in arguably the greatest rivalry in all of college football. And I don't think it's going to phase them this week. We'll explain next on Morning Drive.
Don't let the weather phase you either, homeowners. Listen, it is going to get cold eventually. I know it seems impossible, but it will eventually get cold, which means your house is transitioning from the AC running all the time into where your heater's going to have to work overtime during the winter months to keep you nice and warm and toasty. This is where you need to partner up with Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling offers you the Comfort Club. What is the Comfort Club, you ask? Well, I've been talking about it for over a year. The Comfort Club, it provides comfort. How about peace of mind? Because what they'll do is they'll come out to your house. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling will come to your house. They'll get your entire system checked to make sure there's no problems before that first cold weather freeze comes through. Whenever that's going to be, right? We don't know when it's going to happen. This is why you join the Comfort Club. Every 6 months, they come out during off-season times, the spring and the fall, to make sure before the heavy use seasons that your systems are up and running smoothly and efficiently. That saves you money on costly repairs. That saves you money in electrical bills and efficiency for your home. It saves you money and it protects your home and it gives you peace of mind. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It's why my family uses Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We're not using the other guys anymore. More than two decades of experience, locally owned. Now is the time. Have them come out to your house, join the Comfort Club, get everything checked before it gets cold. You want to do it now. Trust me, it'll save you money. I promise. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, springhillac.com is the website, springhillac.com. Check them out and tell them Braden sent you.
It is Morning Drive. Good to have you in. Nice work by Marquise. Pigskin Picks coming up at 9:30. Big finish at 9:45. So when we roll the calendar over to October, right? Like, if you live in this area, if you're a Vols fan, if you're a Bama guy, the third Saturday in October used to mean something to you. And maybe it still does to the diehards, but it's been lopsided. And when we get to October, even when Tennessee-Bama was great, I always would think, okay, now that we're into the month of October, the first thing I think of, Red River rivalry,
Red Oklahoma River shootout
rivalry.
Red River shootout.
Rivalry sounds better.
No, I lived in Texas. I grew up somewhat in Texas. I went to the Red River Shootout as a 12-year-old. it has been going on for 100 years, and it is the Red River Shootout.
What if the game ends 12-7? Then it's not a shootout. If a Texas-Oklahoma game ever ends 12-7 in this day and age of football?
Proper noun. It's a proper crazy. Noun, capital S. No, they changed it to rivalry because of all the PC garbage. It's a Red River Shootout.
It's a joke.
And it's what it's always been called. I will never call it anything else other than that. As someone who lived in Austin and Dallas.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's the Red River Shootout, and I don't care. Get at me.
Okay. Cotton Bowl, Texas, Oklahoma. And I'm thinking great rivalry. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts was asked about playing in it for the first time, and he said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, I think I'll be okay. I played in a couple of Iron Bowls. I've been in these types of atmospheres before. So let me ask you this. From a rivalry standpoint, would you agree or disagree? I thought yesterday, I put it out in a tweet, and I didn't really get much pushback. Mm-hmm. For college sports in general, the top three for me, Duke Carolina with basketball, mm-hmm. Bama Auburn football, Michigan Ohio State.
I would say.
Would you argue?
That's fair.
I would say.
That's
fair.
I did get a few Army Navies, and no disrespect to I get the game. I understand what it means.
It's just it's different.
It's a different rivalry.
It is the best rivalry in all of sports if you want to count it for what it is,
right?
What Army Navy truly is, which is a celebration of patriotism and young Americans who are going to go defend our country. Like that's,
but the game never really has meaning.
It's sort of separate from, you know, 1 in 3 competing for a national title. It's just.
I mean, if you love triple options and wishbones, have at it. It's a tough watch.
Listen, the entrance. I don't have a problem with the watch at all. I think it's a great game. It's not for the national title, right? It's not. It doesn't have the gravity of Duke, North Carolina when they're generally competing for ACC championships or, you know, Auburn, Alabama, which has lately been the deciding factor in the SEC West. Ohio State, Michigan has long decided a division or a conference title. I think the thing about the Iron Bowl that separates it. So Oklahoma, Texas, and I learned how to cuss, okay? I'll just be honest. I learned how to cuss at Texas-Oklahoma game when I was 12 years old because I've never seen – you know, 38,000 fans of one team scream a bunch of bad words at another 38,000 people from another team. You're at the Texas Fair. You're eating all kinds of great food. I remember looking at my dad going like, oh, they're not supposed to say that, huh? And he's like, no, but he just kind of let it go. And like, again, rivalries like that teach you how to use bad language, basically. That's how intense they are. I always say this about college rivalries. There is no rivalry that doesn't believe that its hatred is the most hatred, right? Oregon, Oregon State. It may not matter to us in the South, but like to those people in that rivalry in that state, it's called the Civil War. Like they hate it, right? They absolutely despise each other. Washington, Washington State. Pick a rivalry. Clemson, South Carolina is as nasty a rivalry as it gets within the state. The vitriol of hatred between those two fan bases, it's as crazy as anything. But nothing is quite the same as Auburn, Alabama in the state of Alabama, where every single day at your church, at your grocery store, at your PTA meeting, in school classrooms, mowing your lawn, everything is integrated into Auburn, Alabama. The guy next to you, is he an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan? It may affect your life, how you live on any given street in the
state of
Alabama.
You've got to declare at birth. It's not a phrase. It's true.
It is... It's just more deeply ingrained and interwoven into your daily experience of life in Alabama because Ann Arbor and Columbus aren't really close to each other. I mean, they are, but they're not really. It's not like Auburn and Alabama where you live next to each other, right? Like Ohio State fans in Columbus, not a lot of Michigan fans living on the same street as you. Whereas in Alabama, and it's the same for Oklahoma and Texas, Austin and Norman are a good, you know, 4.5 hours away.
That's probably the greatest non-state rivalry in college football. Ohio State.
Oklahoma, Texas is right there. I mean, Georgia, Florida is up there. The cocktail party is a great game to go to if you've never been there. There's something about in-state, though, that's more intense. Like Mississippi State. Don't tell those people that your rivalry is more intense than their rivalry. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Like, yeah. And I think, too, with Alabama-Auburn, you go back to 2008. How many times has that game determined who won the national championship? I mean, it was Bama, Auburn, Bama, Bama for a 4 or 5 year stretch because it was 08, 09,
yeah, but when were
10.
They, but 10, Alabama wasn't in the national title hunt.
No, but Cam Newton and Auburn did go to the title game.
Right. It determines one of the participants. I'm saying when they're both.
Alabama had that game won, didn't they?
Yeah, the Mark Ingram fumble out in the Cam back. The one that really took it to another level was the first time the winner of the game was going to win the division.
2013.
And that was 2013, which, of course, ended in the most dramatic finish in maybe the history of college football with the kick six. So, but that was the first time the game actually was winner goes to Atlanta. Then three years later, whatever it was, when Auburn beat them and Alabama finished 11-1 and eventually won the national title, 26-12, I think, was the final, something like that. That game decided the West. So we went a long time where both teams weren't competing for the West title, and now we've seen it a couple different times where the winner will win the division and go to Atlanta to compete for the SEC championship, which just adds even more fuel to the fire. And then the way the 2013 game ended, listen, I think Texas-Oklahoma is a game that every college football fan should go to. It is as good a game as you will ever go to anywhere in the country. I do not think it is as daily an intense thing as Auburn-Alabama is because of how close everyone just – they all just live with each other in the state of Alabama.
What was your deepest rivalry at Michigan State? Was it Michigan?
Yeah, it was Michigan. Didn't have a rivalry, even though – because we didn't play Ohio State every year because of, you know, the way the conference was aligned. You just didn't play them every year. But we played Michigan every year, and that was the, you know, the in-state rivalry is always a thing.
Did it fuel you in Michigan State, and does it fuel Michigan State from the standpoint of you look at that as your biggest rival, yet Michigan looks at Ohio State as their biggest rival and almost looks down upon Michigan State?
But they know they got to win that game.
Well, I know.
They know that, you know, they can try to, you know, downplay it, but if they lose that game, then it's a must that they beat Ohio State. And lately, you know, they hadn't been, it's either you're losing to both of them or you're beating one and losing to the other. And, you know, if they had their way, obviously Michigan would be Michigan State and Ohio State, but they just hadn't been able to, you know, do that consistently lately. Hell, they hadn't beat Ohio State, period. And they've been able to beat Michigan State, what, two out of the last three times, I believe. But before that, we were on the roll where we were just dominating them for almost a decade.
USC Notre Dame, also a rivalry that is on tap for tomorrow as well. I want to go back to a day, and I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but the early 90s with Florida State, Miami, all those games with the missed field goals and wide left and wide right. When Florida State Miami was at their heyday, Miami had the bad boy image and Bobby Bowden was at Florida State, well, that was tremendous.
Yeah, it's good.
That was an early one, too, I think.
Yeah, it's just not as intense because it's on and off. They weren't in the same conference. Even Florida State in the 90s was super intense. Like the Fred Taylor comeback that eventually, like they played, I think they played, I think it was the national title year in 97 or 96 where they played in the last game of the regular season. Florida State won. They came back and played in the Sugar Bowl.
National championship.
And Florida won in the national title and won the game. So they had played back-to-back. You know, I want to say it was Miami in 2000 that made – was it Miami in 2000 that made state championship rings? Because they had beaten Florida and Florida State, but they had lost to Washington, so they didn't play in the BCS title game. But Florida State did, and their loss was to Miami, so Miami made state championship rings that year. Like, there is definitely some heated rivalry stuff there. But, like, I mean, anything. Like, Georgia Tech.
You know,
Utah, BYU. Like, all these rivalries are great.
The rivalry that I'm mad that they got rid of was Nebraska-Oklahoma.
That's an old school one.
Yeah, when Nebraska went to the Big Ten, it just killed. I think the last time they played was 2010. They killed that whole rivalry.
Penn State Pitt.
Yeah.
They don't play anymore.
That whole
played 4 years in a row. But they're not going to play again for a while.
Yeah.
West Virginia Pittsburgh was called the backyard brawl. They played every year on the final week of the season. And West Virginia went Big 12 and Pittsburgh went to the ACC. They both left the Big East and all of a sudden, no game. The one that matters the most is Texas A&M. That's the one that I've been to four of those games. And the hatred between Texas and Texas A&M is off the charts. It's just as good as any of these other games we're talking about. And the reason they have not played it yet is because I think they're just waiting so that they can capitalize financially. They're just waiting to launch it as like a week one matchup every year in like Jerry World or something like that. So where they can sell huge rights around it, huge advertising and sponsorship dollars around it, sell suites to it, make it a big event. And both teams have to swallow their pride a little bit because Texas A&M is a game that should be played every single year.
Coming up next, it is time for our Morning Drive Pigskin Picks against the spread. Stay there, ESPN 102.5 again.
Pigskin Pick'em starts now. For entertainment purposes only.
Bumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Here we go.
That goes double for you knuckleheads. Yeah, you know who you are.
Time for another edition of Morning Drive's Pigskin Picks Against the Spread, where we go around the room and give you winners, or in some cases, losers, and you should just fade us and go the opposite way, and you'll still win. So either way, you should be able to load up your bank account for the holidays.
Yeah, we're helping you either way.
Exactly right. We're like a financial stimulus for the economy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I take it.
Some. If you say. Some days.
Yeah, whatever you say.
All right, D-Mace, you have the best record. Braden, do you want to go through the numbers and rattle off the records
all
today?
All right, Derek Mason, yes, last week, 3-2 against, it's not against the spread, I guess, it's against the total, 3-2, 17-13 on the season, leading the way and making you money, Nashville. Nick went 2-0 last week, nice Florida and Michigan win there, however. Just 18-24 on the season, still fighting uphill. I myself went a pristine 1-3 against the mark last week with four favorites. Now 12-15, also under 500 and losing you money. So fade Nick, fade me, and play D-Mace. That's how this goes.
Right.
So Derek, that means you're first. You're in first place. You're up, my friend.
Absolutely, first game I'm going with. You hear the music.
You guys know what time it is.
Coming from a far region, deep in outer space, the greatest.
We can watch all these games
once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away.
These games are played in galaxies far away.
Charlotte versus Florida International.
Okay,
Charlotte, Florida International. The over
Will Healy, baby.
Yes, the over under is 60.5.
Okay.
It should be mild weather there in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So I am going with the over. I'm going with the over on that one, okay? You got it?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we got
it's
him.
All, it's down.
North, oh, we get it.
North Texas.
Yeah, it's your
versus
pick.
Southern Miss.
Ooh. Southern or Southern?
Southern. Southern.
Southern?
Southern.
Southern Miss.
Southern Miss.
USM.
Got Southern it. Miss. 58 over under. Okay. I'm going with the over on that one, okay?
Love that.
58.
Love that pick.
58. MTSU, Florida Atlantic.
Oh, Kiffy Cakes.
Another should be mild weather there in Florida. 63.5.
Ooh.
Lane Kiffin, I'm going with the over on that one. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Now, is 63.5 the total or the temperature?
It should be both. Okay. UNLV Vandy.
Oh, no.
57.5. I'm going the under.
Thank you.
I am going the under on that one, okay?
11-9, Vanderbilt wins. Basically.
And last but not least.
Whoa, it's got dark.
Florida.
Oh, this is a real game.
LSU.
We got an FBS game, folks.
55.5. This, I'm giving to you people. This is a
Locktober.
This is a Locktober right here. 55.5. I am going the over.
Over.
If D-Mace does not hit that pick, he will not only give you the NHL Winter Classic absolutely free, but the NBA triple header on Christmas Day, toll free.
What about preseason NBA?
If you bet on preseason, you deserve to be in a straitjacket.
Okay.
There you go, buddies.
Give me the Thunder plus 3.5.
All right, I'm going to go just for the sake of trying this out, Nick, which is probably very dangerous. I'm going to go all dogs this week. Just all dogs just to see what happens.
It's a good way to make a living if you can justify it.
Texas plus 10.5, always, always a close game against Oklahoma. I don't think they win. Oklahoma is setting new standards in offensive efficiency, but Texas is also able to score. This is going to be high scoring. Texas plus 10.5. Your University of Tennessee Volunteers plus 7 at home against Mississippi State. I think they play inspired football. They may win the game outright. Plus 7. Give me the Vols there. Your Louisville Cardinals. Jared Stillman's. Hot cakes and syrups. Louisville Cardinals.
Louisville.
Gerald. and the coach. Jordan and the coach.
Will Chris Mason be in attendance?
Braves suck. Louisville wins outright against undefeated Wake Forest. Louisville plus 7. Give me the Louisville Cardinals there. Texas Tech plus 11 on the road against unbeaten Baylor. Texas Tech coming off a big win against Oak State with a quarterback named Jet Duffy. What a great name for a Big 12 quarterback, Jet Duffy. You better be a dual threat quarterback. Plus 11. Give me Texas Tech plus 11. West Virginia plus 10 at home against Iowa State. I like all these home teams getting money, by the way, getting points. What did I say the right thing? West Virginia plus 10
you
at
did.
Home against
Keep
Iowa
rolling.
State.
You're on fire.
And the University of Virginia Wahoos, even though Vegas is telling me not to do it. I like Virginia to win outright against Miami tonight at home or on the road. Who knows who's playing quarterback for Miami? That Bronco Mendenhall defense is real. Virginia plus 2. Give me all the dogs. Give me all of your dogs.
As Bill Raftery once said, oh, the puppies are barking, Gus.
Onions.
All right, I got three for you. I really like your picks, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
Here's what you do. If you want to win in gambling, you bet underdogs and you fade the public. Those are the two keys. Mm. All the losers out there that bet favorites, that's why you're constantly broke. Because you got to win twice. You got to win the game and you got to cover the number.
Also, the economy is not working for everyone. But
exactly. All right, three picks for you. I'm going to go LSU minus 13.5. I think they beat Florida by 17.
So you just told us to bet the dogs and you're taking LSU minus 11.
Yes.
13. Okay.
Texas plus 10.5. I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
Sam Ellinger could win the game outright. And then I'm going to go to College Station. I'm going to do a little D-Mace here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the over 61 between Alabama, Texas A&M.
I like that.
Smells like a 45-24 type game.
I like that as well. Mm-hmm. I like Bama laying the points, but I told myself no favorites this week.
Okay.
Bama point.
All right, Marquise.
What's up, fellas?
NFL picks for Marquise. Now, what did you do last week?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He was 2-2.
Do we have any? Have we even keep a track?
Yes.
Do we keep track of Marquise?
He lost Baltimore and Jacksonville. He won the Vikings and Patriots.
What's 2-2. What's his year to date record?
So that would put him 2-2, 3-3, 5-5.
Is that really what you are for 6 weeks? You've only bet 10 games?
Yeah, he's very selective.
Yeah, man. I'm very strategic with my picking
right.
of games.
Of course. I forgot.
Now, see, I want to take New Orleans Saints versus the Jaguars, but it says PK. I thought he went to New Jersey, so I don't know what that means.
It means pick them.
Pick them.
Oh, I get to pick one or the other?
It doesn't mean PK Subban.
I got that joke, and I like it.
All right. I'll go with the Saints in the penalty kick. I will also take Tampa Bay against the Panthers plus 2.5. I will take Baltimore minus the 11.5 over the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's a big number.
Hey, hang on. New Orleans is the pick'em, right?
Yeah.
And Baltimore minus 11.5. And what other one?
That was Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Carolina Panthers plus the 2.5 for Tampa Bay.
Now that's the London game. Just so you know,
it's early 8:30 kickoff. Yeah.
I'll be up to watch that. You know?
It's Baltimore, not Baltimore.
Okay? Ball.
It's Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Right. So yeah, Baltimore.
Is that a character in Harry Potter?
No, it's Baltimore. Oh, okay. As people of Baltimore, they tell you it's Baltimore,
and you lived in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is he saying?
Baltimore.
What is he saying?
Who?
Baltimore.
No, he's saying
so
ball.
He's adding, he's putting too much T on it?
He's putting the L, ball, tomorrow. Uh-huh. It's ball. Ball.
I'm Baltimore. Hearing you say an L too, though.
No, it's Baltimore. I didn't say an L. Baltimore. Ball, duh. Ball,
yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, that's
duh,
an L.
Duh.
I'm more. Hearing an L.
Baltimore.
See, I would pick Atlanta, but I don't know if I should pronounce the L, but they're minus
or
two.
Or the T. I'm confused.
But they're minus two against Arizona, and I'm going to take them as well.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Just put Atlanta.
Well, can you just call it? Can you call it the ATL without pronouncing the T and the L? I don't think
the
you can
A.
Do that.
Yeah, you can the A.
Call it the A.
There you go.
What's the spread on that? Atlanta, what?
Two
it is minus two.
Yep.
All right, Kale, you got any NFL picks?
Yeah, I'll give you one NFL pick. I like the Eagles plus 3 this week at the Vikings, and you might say, why? Well, the reality is Kirk Cousins is good against bad teams, and he stinks against good teams. The Eagles would qualify as a good team.
Yeah.
Give me the Eagles plus 3.
Mm. I like that.
There you go.
I like that.
All right, we're coming back with a big finish. Stay there.
Baltimore.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Yeah, buddy. Everybody loves a big finish. 9:45 each and every day here on Morning Drive. And it is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club. That's right. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com. Only two games left in the regular season before the USL playoffs start. Huge one with North Carolina coming up this weekend. NashvilleSC.com.
Hollywood, let's get to the rewind. And we welcome you into Morning Drive live here on a Friday. As the Nashville Predators rally from a 4-2 deficit after two periods and score a four spot in the final 20 minutes, picking up a 6-5 win over the Capitals.
Stanley, we're calling you. Stanley, come out and play.
That sounds like a horror movie.
Not to get it confused with Stanley from Friday. Stanley Cup.
Stanley, come out and play.
Sounds like a clown is asking for children to come out and get some candy.
Yeah, the Stanley is lurking around a corner.
Stanley, come home. Dinner's ready.
No, this team is... We spoke with Skillsy. Can I call him Skillsy?
Yes, the poll results revealed that. Two-thirds of the people.
So you just changed because you were the one that was against it, and now you're the first one calling him
Skillsy. Perpetrator, you.
I'm calling them the Kansas City Chiefs of the NHL right now because they are able to put up goals in bunches. Those guys, I mean, I don't know what it is about them.
So does that make Matt Duchene the Patrick Mahomes because he's the trigger man?
Duchene's the Mahomes, and then we have a bunch of other guys that just, man, they just...
We do have a bone to pick with one of our favorite guests on the show each and every week, and it's our buddy Chris Mason, who last night during the broadcast was reading a promo for Fox Sports Tennessee, and he pronounced the city of Louisville, which is how I would say it.
You have to say it like you have a bag of marbles in your mouth.
Louisville.
Louisville.
He called it Louisville.
I feel like we should
And Willie Donick immediately was like, yeah, that's wrong.
Like, people say Louisville. People say that. Louisville Slugger. Mm-hmm. You know, people say Louisville, which is not how the locals pronounce it. It's Louisville.
That is correct.
Louisville. You got to say it like, again, just put a bag of marbles in your mouth. Louisville. Cookeville. Crossville. Knoxville.
The Fighting Stillmans. We welcome in our buddy Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, if the Vols lose tomorrow, do you plan on sleeping on top of a car dealership on a roof for a couple of days?
No, my buddy Tyler Ivins has that locked down. So I ran it by my wife to see, hey, you know, what if I go up there and hang out with Tyler for a little while? And you guys probably know the look I received. So here I am talking to you, and I'm nowhere near the roof of a car dealership. But by the way, you know, it's set up right next to the interstate, so he's still broadcasting there each day on our station, and it is not quiet up there on the roof.
It's difficult to feel great about Tennessee's chances with many of the games remaining in the league, especially if Tennessee were to lose this week. This is just one Tennessee has to have because you can start to play the cumulative effect game. If Tennessee loses this week, then the Vols are about to be 1-6 because they play on the road against Bama next week. So you don't want to put too much on one game in the middle of the season, considering how Tennessee's season has gone and what the talk has been around the program and what you have coming up next. I just don't see any way around this one. Tennessee has to get this game.
What is more dangerous, blowing a gasket or blowing a stack? Like, which one costs more?
Where is it?
To fix?
Okay, a gasket.
A gasket's like a small part you could generally replace. Well, the stack is also the end of whatever the line, you know, is, wherever the substance is flowing through, the gaseous substance.
It could be a good thing.
It gets to the stack, and that's the last piece, so you should be able to replace that one pretty easily.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I don't know. A stack seems pretty expensive. A gasket, small part. I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there, guys. I mean, these are important things that we
these
should
are things that we
they
need
are.
To figure out.
Been a while since I've blown my stack.
Listen, human rights, you know, genocide, world hunger, and
blowing stacks.
Gaskets versus stacks. These are the important things we discuss.
Teron Davenport's with us.
Good thing for the Titans, Denver's defense has struggled a bit against the run. So they're giving up, I think it's like 126.2 yards per game on the ground. This should be an opportunity for Derrick Henry to get that train going. And that's really what the offense needs. So if you like that high scoring, sling the ball all over the place type of football, I don't think you're going to enjoy this game this weekend.
Right now, we welcome in Willie Donick, one of your partners in crime, Chris Mason, yesterday, reading the promo and pronouncing the city of Louisville, Louisville. And you were excellently on point last night, putting him in check right away.
Well, it's funny. You know, the shoe can be on the other foot, right? I've been in Canada and pronouncing some of the Canadian towns on the prairie and butchering those. So you kind of have to learn the hard way. So Mace got exposed, you know, the Red Deer, Alberta native. He's learning these towns one at a time here, but you can get off guard every now and then. I think we're down to won a year now. Last year he got called, and maybe he's, you know, being next to a Mets fan, he got influenced by me, but he called it Deverville and not Sevierville. last night, it was an uphill climb chasing the game, but you never really felt like the Predators were out of it. They kept maybe making a few mistakes that Washington was able to pounce on and cash in. But, man, what a great game just from a pure entertainment standpoint.
Now, there's another spinoff that's probably going to be in the works, and it is a spinoff of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
So I would say if they were to actually do like a 15-year later storyline wrap-up of all the characters, then I would be interested in that.
Do
if
they have
gonna
do the like, funeral for Phil?
If they're actually going to do a different, you know what I mean? Like if they're taking all the same characters but then doing a wrap-up like where actually they are. I'd like to see what the playground where he's born and raised look like.
Let's set up the story like this. Will Smith marries Nia Long's character. They have a kid, and it's kind of role reverse where they're rich, but Will Smith wants to humble his kid a little bit by sending him to Philly to go live in Philly so he can like not be like Carlton when he grows up. Is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air best TV theme of all time?
Because there's so many great songs. Like,
dude, I would put Family Matters ahead of Fresh Prince.
I would not.
For TV theme?
Sanford and Sons is pretty good.
Laverne and Shirley is pretty good.
There's
Three's
so
Company.
Many.
How about Knight Rider? Come on, Knight Rider.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We'll be waiting for you.
Did you ever hear me do my Timmy Kirchner impersonation?
Go ahead.
I don't know.
I was at Blue Jays camp this past week, and J.P. Arencibia really changed the way he calls a game behind home plate. Fascinating to see what the Blue Jays will do this upcoming spring. Jose Altuve is 5'6" tall, and he just mashes the bases.
Puff Daddy, the Puff Daddy.
Yes, that is the rewind from today.
What happened on the show today?
By the way, great win by Predators. Come from behind victory.
I want you to overreact I want you overreacting on Twitter late night on Saturday night if they lose to the Kings.
Yeah, please do.
I know. I want you. I'm talking to
you. Oh, me? Oh, yeah, I am.
You.
Oh, okay, cool.
I want you to overreact.
Because I overreact when they win, so I'm overreacting
right, exactly.
when they
lose.
They lose, because they might not lose.
Ever, again.
Absolutely.
They may never lose.
Anybody have the stones to actually make a Titans pick?
No, I don't. I'm out of the prediction business. I'm no longer in the
prediction
business.
I got a few stones in front of my house, but...
You shouldn't throw those if you live in a glass house.
Absolutely.
Could be worse. Could have kidney stones.
That's not a good thing to have.
The Rolling Stones.
Okay. Stone McCartney. I don't even know if that's a true
Stonewall
true
Jackson.
Yeah, Stonewall Jackson.
Stone McCartney.
You got Stonewalled.
That was Stone McCartney. There's Paul McCartney.
Yes, I know. Stone Malone.
I don't know what that is either. Keep going.
Does anybody got a Vandy pick for this week?
Post Malone.
Yeah.
Karl Malone.
Ah.
The postman.
See what I did there?
Or the mailman.
Malone.
Mark Malone, former Thursday Night Football broadcaster back when...
Home Alone.
Oh, my God.
Is that a spinoff with Karl Malone? He just gets stuck at the jazz facility by himself?
He's got all the mail. He's got all the mail to deliver to all his teammates. And no one's there to collect the mail.
You know,
he's alone.
I have no pick for the Titans. I have no pick for the Vols. But I will take Vandy. I think the fact that Vandy's favored by almost 15 points.
Really going on a limb there.
I'm going on the limb this week.
Vandy outright.
Coach Mason gets a dub.
Titans.
Jared Pickney will catch a pass.
Okay, you're going Titans.
Titans 14-7.
So they a repeat 17. Of last week.
Yeah, 14-7. They win.
Jesus.
Titans.
Gall, you got anything else?
Dude, I never had anything to begin with.
Me neither. All right, that is it for us. Have a great rest of your Friday. Enjoy a great football weekend, and we will reconvene to break it all down Monday at 6 o'clock. And as one man once famously said when signing off on social media, I'm just saying, take care.
Bailey DJ Nashville, have a wonderful weekend, and I love you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.